368, a versification of Psalm 132. We note the prophecy of Christ given in the fifth stanza. Salvation shall adorn her priests, her saints shall shout with joy divine. Messiah's power shall be revealed, his glory in his church shall shine. We sing all five stanzas of 368. Scripture reading this morning is the account of Jesus' birth given in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We read the first 20 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So far we read God's holy word. The text of this morning's sermon is verses 9 and 10. 9 and 10, these words. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, you and I must know this morning to have this great blessedness, which must be indeed our great joy, this Christmas day at the birth of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the heart, this is the center of our joy this day. And you and I must so lay hold upon this joy. You and I must so celebrate and exalt this joy that we must understand without this joy, there is no joy at all, but only the deepest sorrow and the darkest fear. It is in that light that you and I must consider and see all the so-called joy that is all around us this time of the year. This is a festive time for the world. This is a festive time for the children of this world. They enjoy, they rejoice to put up all kinds of different decorations, to do all kinds of things, to fill their homes with all kinds of glitter, all kinds of tinsel, all kinds of decorations to put them in a festive mood. They're preparing their homes. Think of people enjoying all the food that is there to be enjoyed at this time of year. Much cooking, much baking, much candy making, enjoyment of what is made, even in the homes and among families. It is a time for this joy at so many get-togethers. This is a time for family, this is a time for friends to gather, to have their parties, and to have a good time. And there is a joy also in thinking of others, purchasing gifts to give to them, as well as receiving those gifts as so many tokens of love, of fellowship, and friendship. But you must understand that all of those things
are used by the world in the promotion of their own joy and their own happiness as a veneer and as a covering. Without those presents, without those parties, without that food, without those decorations, the veneer would be stripped away. Superficiality would be broken. And underneath would be only cause for the greatest fear and the greatest sorrow. So you have the way of the world. It is ours to say, in all of those things, there can be no joy, there can be no peace, there can be no satisfaction, unless we have the joy proclaimed by this angel to the shepherds. Unless we have the joy of knowing our King given to us as this humble baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And only as we know this birth of this boy given to us in order to die on the cross to save us from our sins, then we have our fear and our sorrow banished. Then we have true everlasting joy, because the true comfort and the true peace of Jesus' birth is ours forever and ever in our blessed Savior. So you must know that this must be our joy this Christmas day as the joy of our salvation, the joy of the pardon of all our sins through this, our King given to us from God on high, and these tidings of the angel declared to us. Fear not, for behold, I bring you great good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So then we consider this text under the theme, fear and great joy. We must see, first of all, the fear shown. Secondly, the tidings brought. And finally, then, the joy given. In order that we might know the joy, we must truly fear. We must truly fear alongside of these shepherds, and we must make sure that our fear is of the proper kind and has the proper reason behind it. Now, we might say that the fear of these shepherds is certainly, and it is clearly, understandable. And what contributes to this fear is the simple suddenness. Must think of the dark and the black night that surrounded the town of Bethlehem. Such a black and such a dark night that one could see all the stars in the heavens above. Bethlehem gave no light, as cities and villages and towns do today, to reflect against the night sky. It was a great and tremendous darkness in which those shepherds sat watching their flocks by night. They were accustomed to the night. They're accustomed to keeping watch over their flocks at that time. They're used to spending hours and hours and hours in that darkness, knowing and looking for the sky to grow so gradually brighter from the darkness of night to the light of the morning, and then to wait even longer for the rising of the sun. And what a shock it must have been to see so suddenly that darkness sheerly interrupted by light that shone upon them that far more exceeded the light of the sun for brightness. A dazzling, brilliant, nearly blinding light to shine all around them, so piercing and so chasing all the darkness of the night away. Then we add to that suddenness of that light from heaven shining all around them, the appearance before them of a mighty angel of God sent from heaven with these tidings, that they might know the visitation so suddenly of this creature from another realm with which they had no acquaintance at all, This angel that they might only understand and know about from Scripture, to have such a being appear before their very eyes, looking upon them with all the brightness of his face, filled with the reflection of the glory of God toward them. So we can well understand the suddenness, even from the language that is given to us by the Holy Spirit in Luke 2, verse 9. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The word means look, see, behold, as in an instant, suddenly this light was upon them, so suddenly the angel of the Lord was before them. So we might well understand the language of Luke 2, verse 9, that they were sore afraid. Literally, we read here, they feared a great fear. That fear was before them. That fear entered into their eyes, into their hearts, into their souls, into their bodies. Fear gripped them. It arrested them. It paralyzed them. They simply stood in the power of that fear. Fear at that sight stripped them of their strength and all their vitality. They felt their life ebbing away from them. Their minds and their hearts were filled and even overwhelmed by awe, by wonder, and by the reverence of this heavenly visitation before them. And so filled were they, so gripped and arrested were they, so they felt their weakness, that they were sure that the very question came down to press itself mightily upon them in their hearts and souls. We will die. We must die, for our eyes see the glory of the Lord. Visitation from this angel from heaven, often seen and understood to be a messenger of God's wrath, to work God's destructive wrath upon men. But such cannot be the deepest root and the deepest ground of their fear. It is not merely the suddenness of this angel's appearing. It is not merely the shining of that light all around them. It is because of the very nature and character of the glory of the Lord that shone around them, the very character and nature of this light. This light was not a physical light. This light is not to be compared to the light of the sun or any other light that man might produce. What shone all around them? What shone about them? What was it that illuminated their faces? What was it that illuminated the countryside around them? What was that light that filled their eyes? It was the glory of the Lord that shone about them. What is that glory? That glory is the presence of the being of God, and that being of God not merely as someone, according to who that individual is, but is that glory of God as all that God is. All that God is as a God of truth, as a God of righteousness, as a God of knowledge, as a God of power, and as a God who is all of these things beyond our comprehension, beyond our ability to fathom or know, altogether as infinite, showing God. And behind it is the truth that there is really no separation in God's being at all. No separation. You can't say, well, here is God, and then here is his truth, here is his power, here is his knowledge, here is his strength, here is his grace, here is his loving kindness. They all belong completely together. God can't be God without all of these attributes, all these perfections. But then all these perfections gathered together, unified in the one glorious God, must shine forth. And as this glory shines forth, everything about God shows in that light, makes itself manifest in that light. To see this light properly is to know about God, and to know Him as this God of glorious, infinite truth, righteousness, wisdom, power, understanding, knowledge, grace, and loving kindness. And that is the ground. That is the cause of the shepherd's great fear. This fear not only tells them about who God is, shining from the face of this angel and all around them, this glory of God shining round about them also tells them very much of who they are. They are but weak, feeble men, and they are men who are sinful. It is an amazing thing about this glory of God that shines forth. As it shines forth, as it's understood by men to be shining upon them, that is the one fact, the one truth that makes them fall to their knees, that paralyzes them, that makes all their strength and vitality be stripped away from them, that makes them tremble with so great a fear. This is a holy God, and they are sinners. And this glory means their destruction. It is for that reason that you and I must say, there is that fear of these shepherds. And therefore, that is exactly the fear that you and I must have. And that is the only way that we can enter into the message of this angel. Because the message of the angel is this: fear not. It is meant for those who are fearful, for those who do tremble. And they tremble and they fear for the very right reasons, that they are sinners before a holy God. And it is only in this fear that you and I can know the blessedness of these tidings and can appreciate them and know from them the true, glorious, and marvelous joy. You might think in this way of lights that are made and lights that are installed in certain places, that you can go to these places and you walk into them and there is normal, regular light shining. But suddenly, all the lights that you can see by are shut off. And then these other lights show their real power. They're called black lights. And you are immersed in total and complete darkness. And if you look around for these lights, you can see them, but they appear in that darkness just so very dim, shining with this very dark blue, almost purple light. But in a most amazing way, whatever is brought under that light, that is of phosphorus paint or bleach made so very white, it shines so much under that light. So it is with this glory of God. Its real power, its real significance is not that it illuminates the countryside. Its power was not that it illuminated these shepherds and their flocks. Its power was what it showed in them. It showed them their sin, showed them their guilt, and it showed them their misery. It showed them their utter and their absolute need of these tidings and the Savior to which they point. So we must come to then the blessed message of the angel. The first thing that we must see about this message of the angel is that here is another purpose for the glory of the Lord shining round about them. And even as that glory was meant and intended to fill these shepherds with that great fear, so also it was theirs to know that the message brought by this angel to the shepherds was a message that truly came from God. All the impress of that light shining as the glory of God round about them served that message. It served to make it absolutely clear and absolutely certain that this is indeed and truly a message from God. It is a sure message. It is a certain message, a message that is not at all to be doubted. And thus brought upon the lips of God's heavenly and God's perfect messengers. And the first word of this message is the proper direction to its contents. Fear not. Fear not. Those first words were addressed entirely to these shepherds, according to the truth and reality of the fear that they had that now so powerfully gripped them. And this was a message that was calculated to be the cause and the weight to so come to these shepherds, to be so received by them, so enjoyed by them, that their fear must be completely banished and completely sent away. To hear this message must mean that as much as these shepherds did truly fear with all their nature, that all that fear would simply disappear, that their strength and vitality would return, that they would be restored to the abilities that they had simply to stand and to carry on in their way. It was meant to be their healing. It was meant to be their strength. It was meant to be their glorious and wonderful deliverance, and we must say even their salvation. Meant to go down to the heart, and therefore directed not only just to the shepherds who were so filled with fear that night, keeping watch over their flock, but those tidings must be directed then to us, who stand exactly with them and next to them in that same fear before the glory of the Lord. And that we and the shepherds might together continue on before that same glorious light and all its significance, and yet then to be without fear, because we have heard the tidings and we believe in them. That must be all our deliverance from this fear. So what are these tidings? What is the reason and cause for deliverance from this fear? It is the glorious wonder of the Savior born this day. This day. An answer to the waiting, an answer to the longing, an answer to the darkness, an answer to the burden of heart, answer to the law with all its oppression, with all of its weight, signifying, showing in every way, we cannot serve God, we cannot obey God, we are sinners, we are transgressors, we have the burden of our sin and guilt, we need deliverance. A sentiment bound upon the hearts, upon the minds and souls of God's people through all the ages, ever since the first word of deliverance was spoken to Adam as a word of promise in Genesis 3, verse 15. Here was the end of that wait. Here is the lifting of that burden. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the one prefigured, the one pre-shown by every prophet, priest, and king in Israel. The one who was promised to come as the servant of Jehovah, to be the deliverer, the Savior of his people. And as this Messiah and the Savior is himself, the Lord. The Lord of glory, Lord of truth, sovereign over heaven and earth. This is he, now to see, and now to see as an infant, newly born this day in the city of David. So it was clear that this wonder and this tidings was directed exactly to these shepherds. They're outside that town of Bethlehem, keeping watch over their flock by night, so that they might receive this message and know that for them is born the Savior so near to them. Near to them, for them to go immediately to this town, to search and find, and to know him to be right there. But also, this infant so near to them as these poor, humble, these meek and lowly shepherds. Of no account and of no importance in this world. These tidings were directed to them to look for a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. Not in a great house of some noble or some lord, some chief person in Bethlehem. Not to travel to some far-off distant land to a mighty palace surrounded by soldiers and guards to try to make their way with their humble, lowly request to know that it would surely be denied, but to simply go into the small little town of Bethlehem so near to look in places and find in a place uncommon their Lord, their Christ, and their Savior. The answer to their fears and their deliverance from all their fears. So we must know that these tidings are also directed to us who are fearful, to us who know our great need of a Savior from our sins. These tidings are directed to you and me exactly the same way. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. To you who are fearful, to you who are trembling, knowing the greatness of your sin and your guilt before God, knowing that you deserve entirely the wrath of God upon you, to you who fear that wrath, are these tidings given. To you is this Savior born, this Savior, which is Christ, the Lord. And he's given to you and me, not only to take away our fear, but to give us all joy and all happiness. How wonderfully direct is this answer. These tidings are comprehended in this complete word of the angel, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." You must understand that this joy is, first of all, rescue and redemption. It is rescue and redemption that is no empty word. It is tidings that has its object so closely tied to it. So closely tied is this word, is that as this word is meant to go to the shepherds, to be their joy and their peace, so it is theirs to follow that word by the sign that is given. "This shall be the sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." For them to say, not only to know, yes, he shall be in this condition, and this is the sign whereby I shall know him to be the one that these tidings are all about, but to know by these tidings, this is what they are going to see. To carry them, as the angel gave them to have in their ears and into their hearts by his testimony, to then say, "Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us, to go with haste and to find it to be exactly what the angel has said." Yes, there he is, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, and to say, there is in that little baby, right before our eyes, there is our Savior. There is Christ. There is the Lord. There before our eyes, there is our salvation. There is no fear. There is all joy. There is all happiness. And there is all rejoicing. Here is the word. Here's the tidings of the angel right before our eyes, truly given to us, truly born unto us, our Savior, our Christ, and our Lord. So the tidings and the sight must lead then truly to joy. This joy is the deliverance from that fear. They are saved. They are delivered. The fear is banished, and in its place must be that joy of deliverance. The burden is lifted. The oppression is simply gone. But it is far more joy than that. It is the joy of all good. It is the joy of every blessing. It is the joy of peace. It is the joy of fellowship. It is the joy of good hope. It is the joy of comfort. That is the heart so filled to overflowing with all the goodness of God, with all the grace and the peace of God, that it must spill forth in a controlling, abundant, strengthening, enlivening joy and happiness. So wondrous and so blessed is this word. It's not a word to stand afar off. It's not a word that comes to us with some kind of doubt, has not attached to it the word maybe. It is given to fill our hearts, our minds with overwhelming joy and overwhelming peace. So that we must say, this is our salvation. This is our everlasting life. There's no longer anything to fear. There's no longer any enemy before whom to quail and to tremble. Christ is with us. God is with us. This is our Emmanuel. So we must think of the knowledge of that joy given to these shepherds. It was given to them by the angel with that glory of God to hear and to believe. It was theirs to follow and see and to know this result in their hearts of that joy. What was their joy? We see it very clearly set before us in verse 17. As they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went everywhere, not going back to their flocks, but going through the city of Bethlehem, telling everyone they could find about what they had seen, what they had heard, everything. And their strength to do that was their joy. They thought it no trouble. They thought it no bother. They didn't need to work up the confidence and the boldness to do such a thing, these poor humble shepherds. They went around wherever they could out of that joy that they had. Then we have the testimony of verse 20 as well. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They had this great fear, this fear that would make them cower, this fear that would take away all their confidence and boldness. But now, in their rejoicing at the knowledge of this gift given to them in this child so born, so wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, their hearts were filled with joy and gladness to glorify and praise God. And the content of that glory and praise of God was this: all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. As it was told, not just to you as born this day in the city of David, Savior, which is Christ the Lord, but told them, fear not. Their fear was gone. Their joy was great. Their joy was in their glorying and glorifying and praising God. And their joy is ours to share also with them. It is our blessedness this morning to follow exactly where these shepherds went. You might say, well, it is ours to hear Luke chapter 2 read. It is our happiness to have Luke chapter 2 proclaimed to us this day in the house of the Lord. Oh, but how blessed these shepherds were. Their privilege, their blessedness was not just to hear, but to see. They had Bethlehem right nearby. They had Bethlehem in which to enter, to find there, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, their Savior and their Lord and their Christ. How blessed they were. And yet, it is exactly the same all the way through for our own blessedness as well. For this word, these tidings, are ours to hear by faith. By faith, we hear them exactly as the shepherds did. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But this testimony that follows of the Scriptures is also for us by faith to see. So by faith, we follow in the footsteps of the shepherds. We go with them into the town of Bethlehem. By faith, we go with the shepherds into the place where they found Jesus Christ newly born, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, because that is a testimony of God's word that we believe. And by faith, we behold there, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in that manger, the one born to us. The one who was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in that manger for us. And to know that on this day we too celebrate this Savior, this Lord born to us, to be our deliverer, to be our Savior, to be our Christ and our Lord, who takes away all our fear, who takes away our fear truly, taking away our sin and our guilt, our condemnation by his precious blood, and giving to us the joy of everlasting life, the joy of all the promises of God, the joy of his wonderful salvation. In that salvation, we rejoice. In that salvation, we tell, we proclaim the glad tidings. In that joy of our salvation, we glorify and praise our God for all the things that we see and that we hear by faith, even as it is told to us this Christmas day. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for these glad and glorious tidings of our Savior born to us this day. We thank thee for the power of thy grace and thy Holy Spirit to so bless these tidings to our hearts, to take away all our fear of judgment, our fear of condemnation, our fear of wrath, and to fill us with the joy of thy salvation, the joy of pardon, the joy of peace with thee, the joy of the promise of eternal life in heaven and glory, therein to praise and magnify thee forever and ever. Give us thy grace, that this joy, that this peace may be ours all our lives, that it may strengthen us to worship thee and to serve thee to thy glory and thy praise, who has so blessed us with this gift of thy Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We sing.